Pete, good.
Well, some of you I know, most of you I do not. Anyone here from Philadelphia? You're clearly not.
No, I'm sorry.
Okay. Because I've heard that Philadelphia this year has a decent football team. They're going to play for the championship this weekend, and yet I'm from Pittsburgh. The other side of the state, it doesn't really matter to me. And yet, while I'm not from Philadelphia, the Bible says that Philadelphia is to be the context for our lives. Hebrews chapter 13, verse 1 is my text. Let Philadelphia continue. Or as your English Bible would have it, let brotherly love continue. The writer of the Hebrews is coming to the end of his book, and he's concluding with a number of final exhortations and reminders for life lived in the church, for living particularly under the threat of persecution. And he says, let Philadelphia, or brotherly affection, or brotherly kindness, continue. He goes on to mention some other things. Love the stranger. Remember the prisoner. Guard and protect the marriage bed. But he starts with, let Philadelphia continue. Brotherly kindness, brotherly affection. It's used in secular Greek for familial affection, the affection of a family. But when it's used in the New Testament, it's used exclusively of the church. This relationship is to typify how we live with one another. We are, in fact, to love dearly, to be devoted to one another. The King James puts Romans 12:10 to be kindly affectioned. Kindly affectioned. Dearly love one another with brotherly affection. Outdo one another in showing honor. This kind of love is to be sincere, unhypocritical, genuine, even intense. Peter puts it this way in 1 Peter chapter 1, having purified your souls by your obedience to the truth, for a sincere brotherly love, love one another earnestly from a pure heart. Earnestly. Intently from a pure heart. This fits with many other graces: harmony, sympathy, tenderness, humility. Peter says, all of you have unity of mind, sympathy, brotherly love, or Philadelphia, a tender heart and a humble mind. So I wonder, is this the attitude that you have towards one another here? So I encourage you to look around for a moment. Make some eye contact. The professors are in the back or maybe in the front. Is this what typifies your relationships? Brotherly affection. Brotherly kindness. Are these the relationships that you have in your congregations and in the broader church? At an institution like this, there are a number of people here, perhaps don't share all the same theological commitments in the minutiae. Do we treat one another kindly? Now, you need to realize that such affection may not come naturally. For some, it seems to, and for others, it does not. Some people simply are more easy to love than others. You have more in common with some. You like some more than others. It's just kind of how things fall out. If you're from Pittsburgh, you don't think really highly of people from Philadelphia. and vice versa, right from the get-go, and you kind of maybe have some fun with that. Peter says in 2 Peter chapter 1, to make every effort. Every effort. There's a string of virtues he has here. Make every effort to supplement your faith with excellence, and excellence with knowledge, and knowledge with self-control, and self-control with steadfastness, and steadfastness with godliness, and godliness with brotherly affection, with Philadelphia, and brotherly affection with love. RPTS is probably really good at supplementing with knowledge, excellence, self-control. Those are the things we teach here, I hope. At least we taught when I was here as a student. Keep moving down the line. Do we produce pastors and other Christian servants who are marked by brotherly affection? Are graduates from here thought of as being kind? We don't have presbytery exams on kindness. Maybe they fall in personal godliness, maybe they fall in pastoral gifts, but I don't remember a lot of emphasis being put on kindness. Are we kind? Are we affectionate? Some of us may need to work at this affection. It is not optional. It is not possible to love God and not love your brother and not show kindness to your brother. In fact, five times in the New Testament, we're told to greet each other with a holy kiss. It's hard to do that with a person with whom you're at odds. This marks intimate friendships. And so you can't really separate love from affection. It's hard to be in close proximity with someone with whom there is no affection. So you might want to start with friendliness and basic courtesy, which is something in our civic environment we have lost. And I don't remember a State of the Union speech being quite as raucous as last night's. I don't know if you've had a chance to watch it. I teach part-time. I make my high school seniors watch the State of the Union address every year. Last night was memorable for that. Started reminding me of the House of Commons in some of that give and take. But I'm not used to that. We're not used to that. But we need some basic courtesy and some friendliness to show grace with each other and patience, consideration, learning to express genuine warmth and kindness. We are to let Philadelphia continue. And you know it when you feel it. You may not be able to put your finger on something, but you know it when you feel it, and you also know it when it's missing. You can get a sense when a family is not getting along. If you're in the home and you just kind of feel the tension, well, you can feel that at a church. There's a visitor and you think, something doesn't feel right. Something's not right. People are not getting along. COVID, of course, revealed a lot of that. But just underlying the surface, there's stuff that's not right. It can also infect institutions. And I'm not around RPTS to know whether or not relationships are good or where they sit. You know, because you guys are here day in and day out. The faculty knows. They see classes come and go. And classes themselves, I don't know if that's true for here, but certainly at my high school, they gain a reputation. And there have been classes that have a reputation for having some unkindness in them. I don't know where you are today on that. But you can get that tension. You can feel that in families where there is sibling rivalry and favoritism. Maybe you don't know that because you were the favorite. Maybe you're the only, you don't have siblings, you're the only child. Of course you're the favorite. There's no rivalry. But just a quick overview of the Bible, you find rivalry between Cain and Abel, and it leads to murder. Rivalry between Jacob and Esau, and it leads to deception and lying and a flight from home. Think of Joseph and his brothers, which leads to a betrayal and deception. Such things not only harm families, they also harm churches. And they can harm institutions as well. And part of that is because of the intimacy in which we live. You guys rub shoulders day in and day out. You learn each other's vulnerabilities. This happens in marriages too. You know each other's vulnerabilities. You know each other's weaknesses. You know each other's wounds. And so in that moment, you have a choice. Do we cover one another, or do we expose and embarrass one another? Well, if Philadelphia is to continue, you know the answer to that. But you may have also been in context where you can see an interaction happen. You don't know the details, but you know something just got said that was heard by a party that was hurtful. Don't know the details, don't know any of the context, don't know anything, but just went, somebody just scored a point at the expense of a spouse. But the Bible says to put away all bitterness, wrath, anger, slander, malice, envy. Because those are the things that strike against kindness. They're the things that undermine affection. Rather, we are to be kind. In fact, the fruit of the Spirit is what? Here's your quiz for the day. But the fruit of the Spirit is?
Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness,
faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Oh, getting kind of raggedy there towards the end. Should we try the Ten Commandments? No. Fruit of the Spirit is kindness. Would people consider you kind? I don't know, when report cards come out, do professors make comments on report cards? Is there a kindness scale? You know, he's developing, she's developing in kindness, not. Maybe we ought to start putting more emphasis there. We're to be tender-hearted. We're to forgive. We're to show genuine affection, which puts others first. So let me encourage you to mortify a critical and judgmental spirit. Reformed theology, we think critically. I want you to keep thinking critically. I don't want you to speak critically and unkindly. So put that judgmental spirit to death. Self-righteousness, pride, prejudice has no place in the church, has no place in an institution of the church. On the other hand, neither is there room for feelings of inferiority, envy, or resentment. You and the other guy have both been blessed with every spiritual blessing in Christ Jesus in the heavenlies. You both. So there's no reason for pride, and there's no reason for envy. Every spiritual blessing in Christ Jesus. Backbiting destroys communities. Harms marriages, harms families, harms churches, harms communities, harms institutions. So watch your speech. Most of you, many of you here, are being trained to be professional speakers. Watch your speech. In print, in the pulpit, in day-to-day activity, watch your speech. There is to be nothing unwholesome but what edifies and imparts grace. And there is a fine line between teasing and cruelty. I can be cruel. I have a quick wit, a quick mind. I've had to learn a long time to not say everything that comes through my mind, or not to think about it maybe after it came out. Maybe some of you are the same way. Then you say, boy, I wish I hadn't have said that. But it's out there. I grew up in a family that teased one another. I've discovered that there are lots of families that don't. And I have learned that the hard way, because I have teased the wrong high schooler. And it's been perceived as cruel, because they don't have that context in which I had with brothers. So even somebody looking in at my family might have thought, the brotherly affection is strange in that family. Brothers wrestle. Brothers tease, sometimes mercilessly. Again, I'm not sure that that's good. I do wonder, you know, in Jesus, when he had younger siblings, was there any measure of teasing? They certainly had that kind of rivalry among the disciples. I don't know if Jesus ever participated in any way. My guess is not, because it's perceived as being unkind. So what happens then when you're on the wrong side of the lack of brotherly affection? Well, don't let matters fester. Don't gossip about it. Don't sow discord. That's something God hates. One who spreads discord among brothers. Don't do it. Address the matter quickly, quietly, overlook it, seek peace. Because warm affection brings healing. If you are warmly affectionate, you can approach most anybody with a problem. And you'll be received because you're warmly affectionate. And if somebody has a problem with you, you will be approachable because you are warmly affectionate. That goes a long way to keeping things small. You handle them quickly. It extends peace and welcome. It conveys a blessing. So let me encourage you to seek to be the person others want to have around. And I don't know how you measure that. You could ask. That's bold. Say, do you guys like me? Genuinely? I mean, do you really think I am affectionate, brotherly kind? But be that person who spreads joy and light with cheerful affection. I'm from Pittsburgh. Philadelphia does not have that reputation. They threw snowballs at Santa Claus. They've done other things that just stand in memory. And yet they're the city of brotherly love. So I hope that Philadelphia will live into its name. But I hope that for all of us. Philadelphia is not mentioned in Psalm 87. But that's where we're to live. In Philadelphia, with brotherly affection. And some of you might be saying right now, yeah, but I'm not a warm, affectionate person. In fact, some of you might be rather prickly. And you might just say, well, that's just who I am. And I say, that's irrelevant. We are to let brotherly affection continue. I don't care if it's your nature or not. It's not relevant. This is a practice of the Christian life. It doesn't usually fall into lists of Christian disciplines, kindness, but it is. And in Christ, you can become more affectionate. You can become more warm, more welcoming, more so that guy that people wants to have around. How do you do that? Well, you meditate on Jesus. Meditate on Jesus and his approach. The Lord of glory calls you brother, sister. He is not ashamed of you. He's not ashamed of me. When we have done many things for which we should rightly be ashamed, and he might be ashamed. And we all know that when a family member does something of which we all are ashamed of, kind of the shame falls on the family. He is not ashamed of us. He considers us friends to the point of laying down his life for us. That is true brotherly affection. Jesus welcomes us. He welcomed you, he welcomes me, all of us. And in the same manner, then, we are to include and welcome those he welcomes. If he welcomes you, it's good enough for the rest of us. Because God in Christ makes no distinctions. There's no Jew-Gentile. There's no American foreigner. There's no rich, poor, male, female. So if he welcomes all, who are we to discriminate? Who are we to look down upon? Who are we to talk down to? We are to view and accept and receive one another in Christ, not according to the flesh. The world makes all kinds of distinctions, which we are not to make. But we'll only become these who practice and live out brotherly affection if we've experienced it, that unconditional love of God in Christ ourselves. Because you can't do what you haven't received from him. When we know his kindness, then by his Spirit, we too will show that same kindness and affection. But what about those times when you're just not feeling it? Like I was talking to Jordan just a moment ago, that we tend to be unkind to the nearest people to us. And there are just some mornings, you just wake up and you're not kind. You didn't sleep well, you're irritated, you're stressed, whatever it might be. What happens when you're simply not feeling it? Repent. Put to death your pride. Pray. Meditate on the brotherly affection of Jesus for you. And then choose to act kindly by faith. It is a choice. I may not be feeling it, but I'm going to still act kindly. Someone might say, well, that's humility. Well, no, I'd say that's sanctification. Because my feelings aren't going to direct me. It's a choice. In spite of my feelings, I will act by faith with humility for the good of others and to the glory of God. So when it comes to the kingdom of God, if your true citizenship is in heaven, then you should make it your ambition to live in Philadelphia. Lord, you've shown us what it means to live with brotherly affection. It's your interactions with the disciples. It's your interaction with so many persons on the margin as you welcomed them and showed affection to people that were outcasts in their society. And so you have done with us. We are the recipients of that. So infuse us by your Spirit. Impart to us your Spirit. Fill us anew with your Spirit, that we might be marked as men and women of brotherly affection. And Lord, that this institution as an institution would be known to graduate kind men and women to the glory of your name. Amen. I think we're going to sing Psalm 133 to finish. Psalm 133, whichever tune. A.